Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
Joel Edgerton is here. He is one of the stars of The Odd Life of Timothy Green, a fantastic fantasy, romantic drama, comedy. It's all of these things. Mm. You play Jim Green?
Yeah.
A man who wants to start a family with the lovely Jennifer Garner, who plays your wife, Cindy.
You wouldn't blame him for.
But not only are they having difficulty doing that, there's also hard times in the town they live. Mm. All this stuff going on, and we're still able to find the ability to hope and dream and realize the fantastic. Tell me a bit about wrapping your head around this story.
Well, it's that sort of tragedy of the couple who have the one who don't have the one thing that they most want, which is to have their own biological child. It's the grief and the tragedy that's sort of the foundation for what is actually a really hopeful and warm story, and funny, that throws up a lot of questions and ideas about what it means to be a parent, what it means to be a son or a daughter, what family means in all its incarnations, magical or otherwise.
The immediate connection, though, that you feel with the couple, that, you know, a lot of couples find themselves in the same situation.
Mm.
And the way that they tell the story, though, is also in a way, you know, it's almost front-loaded. This is a hard-to-believe story.
Yeah, and look, what I love about movies like this, and I'm talking about movies like, you know, Mary Poppins and It's a Wonderful Life, E.T., Big, you know, they're movies that ask us to go on a journey that starts with a kind of a conceit of magic, and that through the magic we sort of discover a lot about ourselves, and we see a lot of ourselves in the characters in the film. And, you know, children believe in magic, you know, and we were all children at one point. And I think there's a reason why these stories are so much not just part of our film lore, but part of our actual story lore, our you know, mythology of fables and fairy tales. It's like they're most often loaded up with a magical element. And what it does, interestingly enough, is it allows us to feel separate enough for us to get the message, but feel connected to it enough because of the thematic kind of threads.
Is it difficult for a lot of people, you think, to make that connection back to the childhood state of mind, to accept the fantasy? Is it easier to to believe in the reality of things, or even the super reality where things are always violent and gritty and sometimes there is no hope?
Look, I think what it is that we start at a place of complete innocence, optimism, glass half full kind of willingness to believe anything is possible. And life kind of kicks that out of us as we get older and older and older. Some people retain that ability to be pure and imaginative, and others don't. So I think at our very core, we have that in our DNA. It's just a matter of reminding ourselves of that. And children remind us of that. Watching children play even, and their willingness to believe the fantastical, that reminds us of it. And these movies help us, I think, remind us of it. So I think we want to believe.
As an actor, do you want to believe? And is it easier for you, because of all of the roles that you've played in the past, to make that connection?
It is imperative that I have some kind of avenue back to my childhood imagination for the sake of what I do for a living. And I mean, you know, there's a way you could do it and remain cynical and aloof and just do cool things that are about here today, gritty kind of things. But I think in order to inhabit another character, you have to have the imagination and the willingness beyond just the pay packet to want to inhabit another person's kind of idiosyncrasies, their habits and their life and their occupation.
Tell me a bit about playing opposite Jennifer Garner. What did you get out of the relationship that you established on screen, or maybe off screen, just, you know, developing the story and the characters?
Well, I really like Jennifer a lot, and I feel like I have this theory that qualities in a person, good or bad, find their way onto the screen, and Jennifer proves that. Everything that she represents on screen is really what she is as a person, just really good-natured and great spirit, loving mother, you know, family person, but also a great actress in that she's willing to kind of, she can do both sides of the coin. She can drama and pathos, and on the other side of it, she's willing to be silly and cheeky. Yeah. And
you see that, but she always, at a moment, her eyes sparkle and she's giggling and she just gets a little goofy.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's sort of a sign that she's really fun to be around, and we had a great time. And the moment we met each other for the screen test, I think we both knew that it was going to be fine, you know, as in, like, we would have the right chemistry.
You're believable as a couple.
Yeah, I hope so. And it's a great compliment to have that reflected back, because it's all you could ever hope for. It's like, I could do my job, Jennifer can do her job, but do we do the job together? And do we do the job as a family, you know, with CJ, to represent the right warmth, the right togetherness?
You brought up CJ. CJ Adams is the boy who plays the Timothy Green. Your son who appears magically at night. Tell me about the interaction there, and just, you know, a bit about, you know, the suspension of disbelief that you, as a, you know, couple going through hard times, etc., just are willing to accept this child into your lives.
Well, I think it's the craftiness of Peter, the writer director, to give us a couple that we love so much, that are so desperate to have a child, that when they can't and they undergo this process, and this storm comes in out of the garden, or, you know, out of the earth comes this child, is that, as unbelievable as it is, the magic is helped along for the audience by the fact that this couple is so willing to believe. Like, they need this child and they need to believe that it's possible, and they need to believe that this child is intended for them, and they just take the leap of faith.
It's a leap of faith that I think, as an audience, we're also able to take, because, again, even though we know this is a, you know, sometimes these things can't really happen, but can they?
Well, who knows?
No, like, but I mean, you know, that's the thing, because as we accept the story, we go along for the journey.
And maybe it's a sign that we all are aware or hope that there's something else out there, that if we really, really wanted something so badly, that the universe would give it to us. You know, and we have words for that in various cultures, karma being one of them, is that, you know, we think that good things come to good people and that bad things will be coming to bad people. And those things are, there's all stories in every culture that that hearken to that stuff, and that really remind us of that. And whether they're cautionary tales or they're reminders for us to go out and seek adventure. But this story, the classic mold of this story, the mythology of this story is about a lesson of change, a lesson of evolution and rebirth, because, you know, it's one of those stranger rides into town, affects everybody's life and then has to inevitably move on kind of story. Which we all know, which is E.T., which is Mary Poppins, which is big, you know. And that person always has to have another worldliness to them, whether they're an alien or whether they're magic or whether they're a shapeshifter, whatever it is. They need to represent something slightly different than us. Now, what Timothy Green does as a movie and as a character is that he has one foot in the real world and one foot in the garden, or one foot in that other world,
in the earth.
And in the earth, and so he does belong to a real world. And so in the film, the town is depicted in a very real way, populated by real people that will feel familiar, but it's got that slight percentage of storybook quality to it, you know, that everybody's living in this kind of very warm, almost like a fable world.
Yeah. You talk about karma. I found out something about you that you give back. You are an ambassador for a humanitarian foundation, charity foundation, Fred Hollows Foundation in Australia. Tell me about that.
Well, I recently sort of embarked on this hopefully long relationship with them. I went to Nepal with the Fred Hollows Foundation. Fred Hollows, along with a doctor, Dr. Ruit, Sanduk Ruit, started this immense push to cure the Nepalese kind of area and surrounding areas of blindness. There's a particular kind of set of circumstances that make it a really prevalent issue there, cataract blindness. And together, these guys, an Australian guy who's now passed away, Fred, and Dr. Ruitt, who now has become a dear friend, they've educated doctors all in the area, and there are so... I mean, literally, I watched him operate on about 100 people in one day, and they'll do these eye camps in mountainous areas. But the Fred Hollows Foundation also stands for kind of a lot of local Australian Aboriginal issues, health and education. So they have a lot of programs, and you know, you can check them out online, but it's something very dear to my heart. And it's just another way for me also. The thing I get back from it is I get to feel a little bit selfless, which, you know, being an actor, you get too much attention on yourself. You're always treated like number one. So it's nice to kind of deflect that a bit, and I get to see another part of the world here and there.
Before I let you go, I want to talk about briefly a couple of movies that are coming out after The Odd Life of Timothy Green. You've got Zero Dark Thirty, directed by Catherine Bigelow, and you also are in The Great Gatsby as Tom Buchanan. Tell me a little bit about those, and, you know, don't want to take too much time, but something you can tease us with when those movies come out.
Well, I'll definitely tease you with Zero Dark Thirty, because I won't take much of your time on that, because I'm officially kind of unable to really share much with you, except that it is coming out soon. and it doesn't have any the filmmakers have no interest in bringing out a film with anything to do with the election. I know I think that's a lot of drum beating by certain politicians, actually. But I'm very excited to see it. I think they're great filmmakers, and I was very blessed to be a part of that. Gatsby is going to be fantastic. I'd lay all of my money on it that Baz is going to create a very satisfying, visual version of a great book, cast in a perfect way, but handled it so perfectly. He's so appropriate as a director for that book, because of, you know, I often think actors and directors are people they like to dip into similar themes a lot, and you know, Baz's films are all about love and difficult love and, you know, stuff surrounding that, and Gatsby's all that.
Tell me about Tom Buchanan, what you bring to Tom Buchanan.
Tom Buchanan is one of the favorite characters I think I've ever played. While Timothy Green, my character Jim, is very close to who I am, albeit a little bit of a pinch of, Jimmy Stewart in there, you know, there's real... real departure for me playing characters like Tom Buchanan. And that's what I really adore, the freedom to be able to be, you know, everything that Tom is, bullish and pig-headed and misogynistic and sexist and racist and, you know, all the things that... Because acting for me is a doorway to all the rooms you don't get to walk into in your real life. And if you can have that opportunity. So, look, I think Tom is my favourite character in the book, and you know, I always strive for a way for the audience to understand them, but I also understand that my role within that book, within that story, is to also somewhere be the guy that's you love to hate. So hopefully I've achieved that.
Joel Edgerton is Jim Green in The Odd Life of Timothy Green. Pleasure to meet you.
Hey, you too. Thank you so much.